Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Back to the TARDIS podcast, the podcast where we take a look at every single episode of the 2005 revival of BBC's Doctor Who. I'm Jeff.
I'm Aurora.
Wait, who am I again? Right, Arkjack. I'm Arkjack, yes.
And today we are discussing Series 8, Episode 8, Mummy on the Orient Express by Jamie Matheson. You ever watch an episode that's good enough that it almost retroactively makes the last bad episode good because it sets up for this one?
Yeah, I mean, I had somehow forgotten how much the strife in their relationship was part of this episode.
It's like, let's just pretend the setup was good and this episode can be fantastic.
Yeah, like this is really just a firing on all cylinders Doctor and Clara episode with a good monster plot and a fun setting. There's a lounge version of Queen that plays at one point.
Eat your heart out, postmodern jukebox.
Yeah,
that was a good song too.
Yeah. Also, Clara's outfit in this episode sure is something.
It's good.
I like women.
You know what?
I think we're all in agreement on that here.
And the other genders, but the women is relevant in this one.
Yeah. There's the core kind of monster plot conceit of this episode is that there is a mummy that is sort of this ancient legend that appears. And then when it appears, it can only be seen by one person. And then they have 66 seconds until they die. And there is nothing that they can do to stop it. It's kind of like a fusion of like a period drama, like the mummy and like a fucking like The Ring-esque like horror thing. But like, despite that, it doesn't really feel derivative. It feels fun and very well thought through. And kind of even ties into the mystery procedural style that it's obviously aping for this episode.
Yeah, I mean, the whole setup for this episode is really good. It takes a while to get to sort of like the reveal of what exactly is going on. And I dig that. I think it really works for this episode. The vibes in this episode are impeccable. I remember this being one I was really impressed with. It's one of the ones I've rewatched. I rewatched it like a couple of years ago, I think. It really holds up. Like all the set design and the costuming and stuff is all really solid.
Yeah, this is the type of episode that is like if I'm doing a rewatch, you know, sometimes I don't necessarily watch everything. I skip around. I watch the highlights. This is one of those episodes where I'm like, this is a highlight. I will always watch this when I'm working my way through. Even if I skip probably most of the rest of the season, this is a definitely watch.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable at this point. There's enough time has passed since this episode that I'd call it a new Who classic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really good. And this, fun fact, it is the first episode that this guy wrote for Who.
Wow.
Immediately followed by next week's episode.
What's next week's? Flatline. Oh, right, Flatline. That's a pretty solid double whammy.
Yeah, it's a good streak. And just the fact of like you have your monster cold open, and then it opens on like just 5 minutes of good dialogue between Clara and the Doctor. that's just like a really just fantastic firing on all cylinders dialogue scene with stuff like what's the line? Oh yeah, hatred is too strong an emotion to waste on someone that you don't like.
That line was so good.
So good.
And I love how he just completely no-sells it, too. He's like, that's a fucking stupid line. Who the fuck came up with that?
Yeah, this beginner intro, the 12 is autistic fan theorists are feasting on this intro scene because he's given all the cues. But yeah, it's great intro. There's a lot of, like, I don't know, like, consistent prolonged takes of them just being together. It's a lot of time spent, which is good because they're actually separate from most of the episode, yet it doesn't feel this episode still feels like quintessential, like 12 and Clara.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so sort of when we started this season, I remember commenting that, like, wow, the Doctor is really mean early in this season, and it's like, no, he's just mean this whole season. Just like this.
He's just built different. and it's like what was I gonna say? It's like, on this is peak, you know. All of us are in some form neurodivergent, so this is a normal thing for us to do on this podcast, but it's my turn to talk about. Here, I want to connect this to this thing that I literally, in this case, just, like, I finished watching an episode and then came over to my desk to record the podcast, which is I'm watching through Evangelion for the first time. And one of the things that's really striking me about the show so far is, like, it is a show with a 20-minute runtime, or like 22 to 25-minute runtime, and yet it is a show that'll just be like, yeah, we're going to do an episode that is absolutely no action, just character study, and we will have, like, long dialogue scenes or long shots of just not much going on, and just kind of conveying the mood of what's going on through these really long shots. And in this case, obviously, it's not quite as comparable because it is still kind of a normal Doctor Who episode. It's just having this level of dialogue feels really good.
Yeah.
Especially on something that's, like, followed through on, because we've lost count of the amount of times in series 6 where it's just like, well, okay, they kind of just do this, like, thing that should be, like, monumental, and then they move on. And while you could argue that the thing they're following up on here wasn't done that well, you still feel the consequence. And even I'd say, like, Danny's role in all of this is also, like, felt to the appropriate degree that it should be. Like, all the building blocks for this episode make for, like, an investing episode once the, like, rising action kicks off.
So, yeah, and just the level of tension that you can feel behind them of, like, either kind of like, yeah, this is our last hurrah, last one. We're done after this. And, like, you can tell that both of them are like, yeah, we're not done after this.
Yeah, there's just sort of this tension throughout the whole episode where it's like, haha, yeah, we're definitely done right now. Like, we really can't do this anymore. Haha, we really can't do this anymore. And it's just like, nah.
Nah.
When you and your bestie enable each other's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, really.
This is the episode where Clara says, I love you, on the phone to Danny while staring at 12. I know writers who use subtext and they're all cowards.
Yeah.
Um, And just like the fact that they're like, yeah, we're not going to investigate, we're going to chill, we're going to relax, and then both of them end up on their own, of their own volition, being like, I'm gonna see what the fuck's happening over here.
I love the bit near the start where they're like, they're doing that word power play thing, and they're both like, we can just leave it. Like, we don't need to know what's going on here. Like, we can just leave. And he's like, okay, just leave. And she's like, we can just leave. And then they like, they both like pretend to and both go to do the things.
Yeah.
Or the subsequent 12 conversation where he's basically playing the companion role. And it's just like, probably nothing going on. 100%. Really? 100%? 99. It's just like, that's quite
and
high.
And he starts doing a Tom Baker impression.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what that was?
Yeah.
Fucking 12, man. Moments like these are why he's my favorite. That and his character arc is, like, basically unparalleled.
Yeah.
Like, with 9 maybe accepting, but, like, moments like this. This episode has a lot.
Yeah. And then the episode kind of continues the streak, well, not necessarily the streak, but the season-wide trend, I guess, of introducing, like, side characters that are, like, could very clearly be companions with Perkins, the engineer, where it's, like,
yeah.
It's always so good when the episode can introduce side characters that actually are good enough to like bounce off the main cast instead of kind of just being there. Especially because it feels like a lot of times that it is just kind of like, eh, they're just there. And it does,
Yeah, I mean, I had totally forgotten that he literally invites Perkins onto the TARDIS, and Perkins says no. And I think, thinking about that, I think that's actually pretty important to this episode, because it's a good contrast to Clara.
And
sort of where Clara's at, of like, she can get out, like she can leave. There's so many good theme. There's so many good things going on conceptually in this episode, and like the themes and the messages of this episode that we usually get like one or two things going on maybe, but this has like a lot of stuff about war and trauma and like dealing with your ghosts, and also just like relationships, what it means to get away from relationships, like seeing when relationships are bad for you. There's just so much going on here. It's really good.
Yeah. It manages to balance all of these things really well in a 45 minute episode. Like a lesser writer absolutely would kind of throw all these things up in the air and then they'd all just kind of like crash and burn. But it masterfully works with all of this and makes it work.
Yeah, the pacing of the mystery, each sort of new reveal about the foretold, when I think his name is Gus, really like enters into things. Like there's a lot of moving parts again, like literally the murder on the Orient Express, like basically like doing a spiritual like Agatha Christie thing, except not, because we already did that. Like, yeah, it does it competently. I also want to touch on, I appreciate the fact that it might be just because of how they cast 12, like with Peter Capaldi, but I appreciate that the companion character is like this like older sarcastic guy, whereas like before, more often than not, if they were to introduce a character that might be a companion, it was basically just like, hey, what if we did like Rose, but again?
Yeah, but we did something actually kind of better and interesting with it.
Yeah, so, and you know, not to knock any of those characters, like I guess like Linda and also I forget her name, but like the Muslim, I think, nurse in that one 11 episode.
Yeah, God Complex. Yes.
Always forget that name. But yeah, it's nice to see like them iterate on that differently this time. Because I think in the hands of a lesser writer, they'd just be like, oh yeah, let's just pair 12 with the person that they pair Clara with. So yeah, is neat. Is my point.
Is very neat. Very neat. So yeah. It also kind of it also feels kind of like a good return to form of the like RTD morbidity, where like a bunch of most of the cast just get, or at least most of the known like named cast gets fucking iced.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of goes back to what they were saying in the production of this season about it being like a return to Doctor Who horror. Is like, yeah, this episode has some mortality to it. It's pretty brutal too, and I think that's really fitting for what it does with the Doctor in this episode, because I think this episode really needed to be a moment where we see the Doctor like not being a good person, because he has to not be a good person.
And I feel like he does it so well, because I feel like in the acting, you can see him kind of agonize, like you can see him agonize over it, but he very clear, like he knows that he needs to keep going, but you can see it affect him.
Yeah.
Like he's not completely coldly and stoically ignoring it.
The danger also serves the purpose, like we have to have all this death and morbidity because this has to be an adventure that like Clara should be reminded, like her decision to leave should be reinforced by this, and by all accounts, like, it is, and it should be, but she can't quit, for whatever reasons, and we can discuss those later. She goes through, like, another traumatic adventure, but stays, and it's, just, like, so many plot points. So many points of the story and the narrative and the theme are used to multiple, like, effect. And I think that's a mark of, like, a really good episode.
Yeah. Absolutely. It becomes, like, almost John Wick levels of, like, no, I'm not back. I'm not. And it's, like, buddy. Buddy, you did this to yourself.
I'm just thinking about like sort of the lead into this episode, because it's reminding me a lot of Time Heist, just in the setup of like, hey, we're in this place with a bunch of people who just happen to be perfectly suited to whatever it is we're doing. Yeah, it's just a really interesting lead in. It just has those vibes to it, just because it's this like campy like, oh, we're figuring out the mysteries of a lost alien artifact. It's just there's vibes. I really think the death scenes are really well done too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and I think it's good that you get a lot in first, and then you can just use that to compare with the Doctor. Because everyone else runs away, and the Doctor is just like, let's go, bitch, and runs straight towards him.
Yeah. Drops the "Are you my mummy?" because Stephen Moffat is a cheeky bastard.
Oh, I didn't pick up. I missed that.
It is a really quick one, but yeah, no, he totally drops it. He just gets in real quick and does it.
I think the conductor is really good too. Yeah. Especially because of the parallels with the mummy itself.
Yeah.
Because the conductor, his sort of thing is like he's traumatized. He's just trying to ride it out. He's like, I don't want to do shit. Yeah. And the lines, his sort of repartee, I think is the word. His back and forth with the doctor is really good because the doctor has that line like, "How many people will have to die before you do something?" Wow, that is a terrible Scottish accent. And then later he's like, "I have your answer, 3."
Yeah.
And then they finally start doing shit. Yeah, but just that contrasted, that sort of really parallels the mummy, who's like, obviously doesn't want to keep existing, but is kind of forced into it by the tech in its body.
Yeah.
Which I think it's just a really interesting parallel.
Yeah.
And it's wild to me because that doesn't really like connect into anything else. It's just like its own little sub theme going on within the episode. And there's like 3 or 4 of those happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it all works together just so incredibly well.
Yeah. If I had to nail down a theme, it would probably be like grief or just like whatever sort of like mental anguish, because for the most part, it's just exploring that within the difference of the characters. There's the recent grief of the woman whose name I can't remember, and
Maisie.
Yeah, her, and then Clara and 12 to a lesser extent are like sort of grieving their like relationship. They're like traveling together. The like main expert on the foretold, that interested me because it's like you can have it all together, but then like clearly like not when things get real. And the soldier guy, he was kind of just like, he was running in it, but like in a different way. But yeah, you could pull that through like everybody. But the reason I go so in depth on that is, so far I think it's the only episode that's earned the soldier thing, the soldier motif. Yeah,
definitely, by far the only one that's really actually earned it. Oh right,
that's a theme. I forgot that's like a seasonal theme.
Yeah,
because this is the only one where it like has anything to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I genuinely fucking forgot that was like the seasonal thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I consider my point made.
Yeah, it's real dire, except here it works here. Yeah. And also like the fact that it totally like subverts like the thing about like Maisie, and where Clara's like, "Oh, like I'm sure you're like really like torn up about the fact that this person died." She's like, "No, I fucking hated her. It's a horrible person." It's like, yeah, sometimes it really do be like that.
And you can and you can still like grieve and have like complicated feelings towards horrible people. Like it didn't feel like in one way or another like a caricature. Is another praise you can give this episode for all the side characters they have. I never felt like, well, that's this trope.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think sort of
go.
Clara's conversations with Maisie are really good too, because they sort of have that whole, because like I think there's interesting parallels there as well too, because there's the sort of cross section of Maisie having her her like bad relationship which she's stuck in with her grandmother, and Clara having that relationship with the doctor, which is also bad, but which she is choosing to stay in. I think that's really interesting, especially just because of the conversation they have. There's that one line, wouldn't it be easier, something along the lines of like, wouldn't it be easier if we loved the right people, but then there wouldn't be fairy tales, I guess.
Yeah.
That was good.
It's so good.
Or the fact, I really like the moment where, I forget who brings it up, but it's like, oh, you can't just leave everything on like a slam door. And then I think Maisie replies, like, sure you can. People do it all the time. And I definitely related to Clara a lot in that moment, because speaking for myself, I really hate when there's not, like, closure to a relationship, whether it be, like, platonic or romantic or whatever. That just feels very unsatisfying. Even if I agree that it should, like, end, that we should go our separate ways, just not being able to have that, like, that like always bugs me. Like, just randomly I'll think of someone I haven't thought of in like 5 years, and I'll be like, damn it, like, things never ended quite right. So that was definitely like a shatter point, like cut right to it piece of dialogue for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also like the kind of halfway mark twist where it's like, oh yeah, like, not only is there like an actual reason for why everyone on this train seems to like know what they're doing, but also it's also like, they don't care about you and they will kill you if you like don't do what they want you to. They just do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it adds kind of what it really does, honestly, that I think works out really well is it adds an additional antagonist that there can actually be a back and forth with, because you can't really have a back and forth with the mummy because of the way that it's set up, and it adds some unpredictability.
Yeah, I do like that we never really find out what this AI's like deal is, like what he came from. Everybody can have their own headcanon. Personally, I think this is like basically like whatever the contemporary Elon Musk is. He's just like, we'll just turn this like tourist train car thing into a lab until I get
that. Sounds like the kind of thing he'd want to do. He'd be like, this would be so cool, soy face.
Here's the thing I'm confused about, because the doctor mentions that this guy called him.
I think that's a continuity reference to, I think, the end of series 5, where it's like Amy and Rory have just been married and he gets a call.
Oh yeah, in space, yeah. So
wait,
maybe
really?
It's like,
what?
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, no, that's a thing. So maybe he's like, yeah, I finally remembered to do it like hundreds of years later for me, but you know, I'm here. It's all good.
Is that just a throwaway line in that episode?
It's kind of a throwaway line, yes, but at the very end of the episode, yes, he does get a call from someone and it's like the Orient Express in space. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And I do think It's very hard to read this. There can be multiple interpretations, but from how 12 reacts to saying that, like, oh, he's been called here before, I could believe that he's just so old that he, like, thinks of, like, oh, yeah, like, this would be a neat place to go, and doesn't remember how he got that idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. 12's characterization in this episode is probably among my favorite of the season and of the series and the most consistent. So I've heard some people call that like a plot hole of like, oh, if he was really trying to like be good with Clara, but like, no, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. And also like at the end, they're like, all right, cool, you solved the problem. Later, just gonna fucking like drain the oxygen. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
It's
also a point. I think this is proof positive that you can earn sort of a narrative cop out moment, because we have no idea how he gets the TARDIS like unfrozen and gets everyone who's like an actual person on this train onto the thing.
First off, it is a time machine, and it is stated in canon that Time Lord vascular systems mean that they can survive in vacuum for like 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, no, that part I understood, but it was just like, we don't see any of it. So the logistics might be stretched a little bit, but at that point you like don't care. Because there's been such
it's like, okay, we're done with the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you're gonna 45-minute syndrome in a way that's just like, yeah, we're just done with the episode, as in like a way where it's like the actual like monster plot is solved, they just need to get out of there, I don't mind you skipping that. I think it's really neat, actually, when a JoJo episode just ends with, oh, the fight's over? Okay, cut to credits. No denouement, no nothing, just, we're done. Next episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically there to skip to the good stuff, which is the conversation that Clara and 12 have on this, like, rocky, like, I don't know, quarry place by an ocean. Yeah. Like,
the BBC quarry every time.
Exactly. What a conversation. Again, sort of like, it sort of bookends the episode where they have a conversation where they're kind of like talking past each other. And in this one, they kind of still are, but it's addressing like 12's sort of motivations sort of the most directly. Mm-hmm. That we've had this entire series, which I think is like a really good point to like, I don't know if pay it off is the right word, but like at this point you get a better sense of like what his deal is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's about it for what I have to say.
Yeah, I think I'm done too.
All right,
I'll just add on one other thing, because it occurred to me while we were talking about this that 12 and Benjamin Sisko from Deep Space Nine sort of have, I can see some commonalities in their motivation, just like sometimes all the choices you have are bad ones, but you still have to choose, sort of like the pragmatist that hates what, like, some things that he'll need to do. He won't enjoy, like, in Sisko's case, sometimes like borderline genocidal actions, and in 12's case, past genocidal actions, and like cold calculus, like sacrificing people like chess on a board. Like, he won't love that, but he'll do it to like do like the most like harm reduction or the most like good in a situation that he can. And I think that's appropriate, because we've never talked about Deep Space Nine, but hopefully one day we'll get there.
Absolutely not at all.
Now I'm done.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, moving on to ratings. This one's a fucking classic. It's so good. it just works so incredibly well. It's just everything feels like it's firing on all cylinders. It manages to very neatly fit in to 45 minutes and not feel too rushed or undercooked or anything. It's got a great supporting cast, all that shit. It's just a fantastic A+ episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, this episode knows what it is at all times, and everybody involved executes it to the letter. The director, the actors, the producers, the side characters, the extras, like everything, as you said, Jeff, is working on all cylinders. The pacing, not just for the character writing, but like the development of the mystery is fucking immaculate. The fact that there are different like plot and thematic points that serve multiple characters and not just one. The fact that it gets the soldier motif to actually make like a fucking impact for the first time in the series. I don't know. It reaches a benchmark where it's not just a good episode of Doctor Who. It's not just a good episode of like sci-fi TV in general. Like this is a good TV episode. This is a good story. That, you know, stands on its quality on its own, like regardless of like what franchise, what property it is a part of. And I think you can say that about very few Doctor Who episodes. So this is a strong 9 for me.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a really vibes episode, and it's just really impressive how much it gets into it thematically while interweaving that and not having any of it feel like overbearing. Yeah, it's just really impressive episode, just incredibly tight. And there's just a lot of good things going here. I would say it's like a 9.5.
Yeah, all right. So yeah, next time we will be discussing what the fuck is next?
Flatline.
Oh yeah, it's Flatline. Flatline. Also really great. Very excited for that. Until you can follow us on Twitter at B2TARDISPod. You can support us on Patreon for a number of benefits such as early access to episodes, the ability to listen in live to episodes being recorded, and potentially even the ability to guest star upon an episode of your choosing. I'm Jeff. You can follow me on Twitter at WheatleyDL.
I'm a sex machine ready to reload, like an atom bomb, about to blow, explode. You know the rest. You can follow us on Twitter.
Rest in peace, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. You can follow us at Of Mice and Femmes on the Twitter.com.
Yeah.
And we will see you all next week.
Bye.